Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. You guys smell anything in here besides, you smell bread? Okay, good. I want you to smell the bread. When the beepers probably go off right at a key point when I'm in the message, you know. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning, for each one here, for the children here, for your work here in each of our lives. And I ask, Father, please, that you will just bless, encourage us, Father, to look to you more and more every day, to love you more and more every day, to walk with you more and more every day, to die to ourselves and to live for you, to discover the fullness of life that you have for us every day, Father. And I pray that you will just encourage us as your people to stand brightly as your people in a world of darkness. Now, Father, bless the message, preach the message, accomplish what you want through it, and most of all, glorify your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Title of the message this morning, you might figure it out, is Fragrant. Is fragrant. And keep that in mind, it'll make sense as we go along. In Roman culture, back in the day, when a Roman general would have victory over his enemies, he would enter into the city coming back from the battle, and in front of him would be all of the captives from the battle. And then he and all the troops behind him would be following. And then they would be shouting with triumph and with victory about what had been accomplished through their battle and them winning that battle. Jesus did that for us. And we need to remember that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I couldn't help but think about the days. Last week I mentioned 1977 when I was in Boston. I heard a few oohs. I'm going to go back a little further to like about 74, 75 in Miami. And while we were there, I got involved in the March of Dimes walk. And so we used to sing this song, forgive me for this, but hi-ho, hi-ho, for the March of Dimes we'll go, for the sake of time we'll walk a mile, hi-ho, 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 and then we just repeat over and over and over. Pretty good, huh? Anyways, the idea was that we were on mission, and we were excited about the purpose and the focus that we had. We were raising money for the March of Dimes. We were called to, you know, get sponsors to sign up. You know, at that time it could be 10 cents a mile, 25 cents a mile, whatever. And we were to walk 20 miles. I got to tell you, in the heat and the humidity of Florida, walking 20 miles was bad enough in itself, but the humidity made it tough too. And we would walk and we'd encourage each other. Time to sing that song again. I hope, you know, we'd kind of build each other up and keep going. I remember we came across this huge fountain and we all dove into the fountain in the city and just cooled off. And we'd hit our spots to get our drink and go on. But, you know, we made that 20 miles, but it was tough. We were tired. We were sore. It was a challenge. But we knew the focus, we knew the cause, we knew the purpose, and we wanted to make sure that everybody that sponsored us had to pay for all 20 miles. We didn't want to go up and say, well, you only have to pay for 10, you know. I mean, that would just be embarrassing. So we pushed ourselves. And so as believers in Christ, we are to remember the triumphal entry of Jesus. We do that, you know, in Passion Week, you know, Jesus and being honored to be the King of Kings, you know, and he's on that donkey, he's on that foe, and he's entering into Jerusalem, and there is great jubilee, there is great excitement, there is great expectations, but their expectations and their timing was at the wrong place at that time, because Jesus didn't come to be king on earth at that time, but he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords above all authority and power, right? And he is our king, and as we talked about last week, that he is the king of in which we are part of his kingdom as well. So I want you to keep in mind through the message that we're called to be like those victorious troops that follow our king, that follow our commander, that follow him in victory and triumph and song and jubilee about what he has done for us. In Matthew 21:4-9, it says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And so our King has come. He's entered into to the city as we take account of what Jesus has done when he was here on earth before he met Calvary and the death, his death for yours and my sin. I knew that was good. Yeah. No amen, Steve, so we're moving on. And then, so they would sing in triumph, of course, we know that, but then, of course, they sang out, "Hosanna, the Son of David." That the Son of David, who is the Messiah, the King of Kings, is our Savior. And so we praise God for that. We should march in continual triumph that is to go on endlessly throughout the last day of our life here on earth, and I believe even in heaven and all eternity forward, that I think even there we're going to be yelling triumph and victory and Hosanna, our Savior, probably even more. The question is, how much do we do that here and now? Because it's symbolic of Passion Week, but at the same time, it is a representation of what we are to be as God has called us to represent Him. In Colossians 2:15, it says, "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." That is, Jesus had victory over the devil, over death, right? And over darkness. He had victory over sin, right? And so you and I don't have to live in darkness. You and I don't have to fear death. I love the fact that in Psalm 23, it says that we shall pass through what? The shadow of death. Not the fullness of death, not the depth of death, but the shadow of death, passing from this physical life to a new, a continued new life in Christ Jesus in heaven, where one day we'll receive, of course, those spiritual bodies. And so we can claim that victory in that triumphant march for Christ, because God's called each of us to march for Jesus. And I don't think we think about that too often. In those terms, because we are called to be soldiers of Christ, ambassadors of Christ, representatives of Christ. We're called to enter into whatever city we're in or whatever environment we're in with a distinction of being those that are coming back with the conqueror and victory. And that's what you and I are to do in Christ. That's kind of a unique thing. And how is that represented? You know, as they laid down the palms and they laid down the clothing and they put the coats on the donkey and or the foal of the donkey, and they honored Christ Jesus. So you and I are to lay down before people the realization of the goodness and the wonderful life that we have in Christ Jesus by following Him, and proceed the introduction of Christ into people's lives. So we're to march through life with the shout of triumph. Our lips are to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Is Jesus the bread of life? Yeah. Is this a good fragrance? Yeah. I told myself I should have set a table over here with a cutting board and a knife and some fresh butter and then just eat it in front of you. But then I said, well, I can't preach that way. It would not work very well. But even afterwards, I could have done that and shared it. But anyways, in 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 16, it says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." I walk in the sanctuary after Sunday school and I go, good, I can smell it. You know, because I wasn't sure in this room if it would really dissipate throughout the room, but it did. And you and I are to diffuse the fragrance of the life of Christ, if you will, the bread of life of Christ, the character of Christ, the truth of Christ, the joy, the love, the peace, the humility, the service, everything that God has called us to be, we're to diffuse those characteristics through our lives like a fragrance wherever we're at. People can look at us and go, I bet that person's a Christian. Some might go, I bet that person's one of those Christians. And some will go, I bet that person's a Christian. Or even so, and probably better yet, some might say, I wonder what's up with them. That's kind of interesting. They're different. And that's an opportunity, again, for us to share the gospel. Verse 15 says, For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life, leading to life, and who is sufficient for these things? Only Christ can provide eternal life for us, right? But in verse 15 it says, again, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. That doesn't mean eternal life. That means being saved from the circumstances of sin and shackles of sin and destruction of sin and yielding to sin in our own lives. It's learning how to live a new life in Christ Jesus. That's what it means by being saved. But if you and I are a fragrance of the character, of the person, and the attributes of our Lord, then that's going to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? As they're going through what they're going through, and they're walking in faith and growing in faith, in essence, growing in their salvation by yielding their lives to Christ, we can set the examples as well for each one. And so we're called to be an aroma for the Lord. Some days my aroma is not very good physically. But I pray spiritually my aroma is good. But even then, some days my spiritual aroma is not that great. And we all have to just take it one day at a time. And so in your insert it says, as the people of Jerusalem proclaim Jesus as King, we must be, what? Marching along, proclaiming him the triumphant King and conqueror. Look, if I can, with a bunch of high school kids, be singing hi-ho, hi-ho for the March of Dimes I go. As a Christian, surely you and I can go and walk with a perspective. I am following my King who conquered death, who's conquered the persecution of sin, who's conquered everything that robs me of life, that I might have life in the fullness in Christ. And proclaim it. Because they walked into the city lifting up their commander-in-chief. And Jesus is our commander in chief. And so, in 2 Corinthians, we talked about that 2 through 14 through 16, but we are to continue along proclaiming him the triumphant King and conqueror. Following Jesus, right, requires us to be active. When we accept him as our King and then stand idly by, we're not proclaiming him as our King, are we? Right? We're to take steps to proclaim him. We're to lay down the branches. We're to lay down the clothing in the path. That sounds obscure to us. But what way can we lay down the principles of Christ? What way can we present our faith in Christ? What way can we share our victories in Christ? What way can we share the reality of the power of Christ in our lives? When we make that known, that's like laying down the branches and the coats on the ground, because we're ushering into people the reality of who Jesus is, conquering King, the giver of new life. And we can cry out, Hosanna, our Savior. Hopefully that others will say, I want to know more about what it means to know this Savior that you're proclaiming as the one who gives you victory even over death. How many Christians do we know that have been following the Lord and that death was not something that they were terrified of, but death was something that they actually looked forward to the day when they would go from here to there? That when they looked at death, they weren't afraid of it. They said, I'm going to see my Lord. I get to see Jesus. I get to see the reality of all these things. God gave us victory over death. And so our lives, our words, and our actions should be like a pleasing aroma. I think that puts it in place, doesn't it? It's simple. If we're going to be, if we're going to parallel the picture of the victorious troops following their commander in chief, or those laying down those branches and palms before Jesus to introduce him to the world, then our lives and our words and our actions should be a pleasing aroma. In other words, pleasing to God. When I smell this, as a matter of fact, as I'm smelling this, I'm salivating a little bit more than normal. Okay? Because it just, you know, I got to get my mind off of it because things are triggering and distracting. Okay? But at the same time, that's a pleasing aroma, right? When God sees us living for Him, and that aroma of our lives that's dedicated to Him, lifts up to Him, it pleases Him. I don't know about you, but that's a humbling thought to think that you and I as individuals can please God. We want to, but we can please Him. Of course, we also know in order to do this, it has to be by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. But if we keep faith and we yield to God, we can be that pleasing aroma. So like fresh baked goods, the aroma of Christ in our lives, we're to draw people to Jesus. We're to live those lives that reflect Him. I'd like to even say that we've got the loaf of bread here, but you and I are more like the pieces of bread that are cut off the loaf. You know? And not to be disrespectful, but we're like the chip off the old block. Because in biblically, we can look at the rock that was split that represented Christ, and we're in Him and He's in us, and we're supposed to represent Him as well. And so the problem is that not everybody likes the smell of Jesus. And the reason is because they don't like to be reminded of sin. They don't want, and the hard part about sin is that you have to be honest with yourself. We were talking about that this morning. If we don't want to be honest with ourselves about our own sin, then we can't deal with it before God. More precisely, we can't lay it down before God. And then we can't have the healing process in our lives, and we can't discover the power of God in our lives. So we must deal with sin, but the aroma of Christ is not pleasing to many who receive that. I remember one year I worked at Foster Farms. We had these huge stainless steel tanks, and each tank, when it was full of meat, it weighed about 2,000 pounds. And they were all over the place, and they were... They had these hand, the sides, it wasn't direct steel, they were curved over like a bullnose, and you put your hands on top and you'd push it. And they were just backed up and backed up like train cars. This one guy, he knew I was a Christian, and he absolutely hated me. And he charged me with one of those tanks full of meat, got it going, and I was standing between it and another tank that had nowhere to go. And he just wanted to smash me between the tanks. I got out of the way, obviously. The point is that people will hate us for standing for Jesus. Jesus will because they, not Jesus, people will because in representing Christ, it reminds them who they are seeing themselves as, and they hate that, and so they hate us. But we got to be tough. Do you think that the captives that were taken in by the Roman general and his troops, the captives that entered into the city first, you think they liked the troops behind them? No, they hated them. And we will be hated for the aroma that we emit because of our knowledge of Jesus, our relationship with Jesus, and our living lives that spread the truth and the love of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 2:16, it says, to the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? And you and I are called to be that aroma. Has anybody ever smelt death? I used to go in the morgue all the time. You were a taxidermist, so you know about death. But one day, I was walking from the parsonage to the church and walked past the dumps, the... the trash receptacles outside. And I go, whoa, man, about knocked me off my feet. And I opened up the lid and almost did go down off my feet. And I was pretty sure there was a dead animal in there. So I got one of our deacons to come check because I was wanting verification because I wasn't able to handle it too well. So they came and looked. Yep, dead dog in there. Somebody had taken a bag and threw it in there. He opened up the bag. That was what it was. I couldn't see the bag. Well, it was in it, but I knew it was rough. So he went over and opened the bag and goes, yep, dead dog. It's not pleasant. But, you know, lives that live in darkness and sin because they choose to smells like death to Jesus, because without Christ, we don't live in life. Without Christ, we do not know what it means to have life. Without Christ, we don't know what it means to walk in His light or His truth or His ways, or most of all, in the fellowship that we actually have with Jesus, who is God. He humbled Himself that we might be able to know Him that way. And so, we don't want to represent death by walking away from God, but we want to represent Him as light and life. We know that people are convicted by the truth. That's why the truth has been made irrelevant in our society. In fact, they claim that truth is only relevant, I should say, to their circumstances. There's no truth for the world to stand on, therefore there's no security for the world to have. But Christ is the opposite. He is the truth, He is the rock, He is our security, and we stand in Him. And when people see that confidence of our faith in God, to stand in Him, especially when we go through the stuff that we all go through, they see the character and light of Jesus, don't they? That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be those that don't reflect the reactions of the world to circumstances, but we reflect the character of Christ, which is opposite the world, that our light, that His light through us will cut the darkness of the world, and people will see the truth of Jesus. It's all about God loving people and wanting them to have a relationship with Him and have eternal life and not have condemnation for their sins that will separate them from God forever. And so, we cannot let negative responses deter us from standing up for Christ. It is scary sometimes, isn't it? But we need to choose to stand up for Christ because that's not only the right way, but it's the best way, in particular for us as His children who've put our faith in Him. We're to continue marching, proclaiming the triumphant truth that Jesus is our King and that He's conquered death and sin and darkness. So, we must continue to make sure our lives, our words, and actions march through this world, spreading the aroma of the knowledge of our King. And our lives become like the sacrifices that send pleasing aroma up to God. I don't know about you, but I like that picture. Where your life and my life as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the family of God, that our lives actually become that joint aroma. When we come together in God's house and we're all walking in fellowship with God and our lives are emanating the character of Christ, that aroma of God, how much more concentrated and dense is that aroma to God? Praise God for that. Numbers 28:4-6, just an example in the Old Testament, says, "The lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer in the evening, and one-tenth of the ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering which was ordained at Mount Sinai for sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord." There's a meat offering, that's our life. There's a grain offering, that's our offerings outside of. We're to be living sacrifices for God. We're to be die to our old man and live the new life in Christ. We're to lay ourselves on the altar before God. That's the meat. The grain is all that we give. That's extra, like our offerings as well. The pleasures in life. Some of the things that God requires of us to give up. that when we're that, then we're offering up that aroma to God. It takes action, decision, commitment, and willing to suffer as God calls us to suffer, willing to sacrifice as God calls us to give up whatever he has for us to give up. But when you're talking about aroma that's pleasing to God, I want to tell you about aroma around here that's pleasing to God. I'm not talking about in the church. I'm talking about my neighbor. Not him personally, but two houses down the street, they have this huge barbecue grill. And they are constantly cooking with mesquite and their meat on there and barbecuing. And I usually walk out the house into the parking lot and just go, smells so good. Really does smell good in contrast to Harris Ranch. But that's how God sees us. It smells so good in contrast to what? Darkness, sin, death. And so we need to be aware of that. God ordained from the beginning that man would offer up sweet aromas. Aromas that are pleasing to his senses. An aroma that identifies its source. I knew the source of that mesquite. God knows the source of us, and the world does too. They know that Jesus is in us when we live for him. So can others identify the source of your aroma? That's kind of a personal question. Spiritual aroma, of course, right? You want to go there and stay there, right? Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable meaning your beginning line, not your ultimate goal line, but the beginning line. That we are giving ourselves wholeheartedly. What's the Shema say in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul, and strength. That's what he's called us to do. And when we're doing that, then we are that living sacrifice on that altar. I remember seeing a TV preacher once preaching on this. He actually laid across the altar just for drama. I want you to realize we are the offering. And we're to be a living sacrifice. We die to the old self, we die to the power of sin, we die to the clutches of sin, we die to darkness, we die to those things that we love that we're not pleasing to God, and we live a new life in the light and the joy, the peace, and the relationship with Jesus. That's what God wants, that we can be that sweet aroma. The lamb and grain offering was required and expected of the people of Israel. God requires of us to give our lives to him, not for salvation, but for fullness of life and for his glory. That's what he wants. And that's our reasonable service. God expects no less of us. Absolutely no less of us. We're to live our lives as a sacrifice from personal comfort and preferences. Now, if God calls you to do something and yield for him or to sacrifice something for him, it may pinch us a little bit one way or another. It may hurt. One way or another. When I left Florida to come to California, that hurt. Not only did I leave my dog, but most importantly, I left my family and my best friends. But God said, look, you know, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take it. This is painful, but if you want to follow me and you want to discover what I have in life and purpose for you, you've got to be willing. I want to know that you mean business, that you are willing to sacrifice your life for me. And believe me, I was impoverished when I came to California for at least a year. I told you that before. Green beans a can of green beans would make my mouth salivate. And so we're to be that sacrificial, life-giving sacrifice for God. That sounds contradictive. Living sacrificially will actually bring life, and it will share the light of Christ that can bring new life to others as they put their faith in Christ. We're to obey his word. We're to sacrifice our time. We're to give up our own needs to God. We're to surrender our personal goals to God. We're to give up our pleasures to God. He said, man, God expects us to be stripped of everything. Only if God requires what he requires do we yield up as God calls. And so, let's don't live our lives for our own sake. Let's give up our habits and our sin. Let's pray, read, study, give, and serve God. And our lives will become his, and we'll be a pleasing aroma to God. The question is, are we willing to do that? Because it requires dying for him, and it requires marching for him. It requires speaking up for him. It requires standing strong in him. It requires standing on the rock, which is the truth of Jesus Christ, against the tides of the world that hate the truth. But we do it so others can come to know Christ. So people marched and followed their general. We are called to follow Christ our King as his children. We're to trust and love him without hesitation. And we're marching to display God's love. Isn't that what Jesus was doing when he was at the Passion? You know, when he rode on that little foal donkey, the donkey's foal? He was displaying humility and love because he was giving himself and totality for all that would put their faith in him. The King of Kings, honored in heaven, all his glory, on a donkey. Later hated. And so, as a result of making that commitment to God, we will put off that sweet aroma to the Lord. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, we'll close with this. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for what? A sweet-smelling aroma. We're not at a loss for doing that. We're at a place of blessing and fullness of life that the world cannot understand. Christ is our King and conqueror and our example. And he sacrificed his life as he walked the face of the earth, and he gave himself on Calvary for us. He was willing to die for us, and we must be willing to do the same. How committed are we? Are we willing to not only live for Christ, but to die for him, not only in our own character, but even if it was called upon to die physically for him? So, here's what we're called to do in action. Does your life give off a sweet-smelling aroma to God and others? Be honest with ourselves about that. Some days we do, some days we don't, but hopefully it's most of the time we do. Do you spread the knowledge of Christ your King to others through your life, words and actions? Are we willing to share the gospel? Are we willing to share God's love? Are we willing to reach out to people, our neighbors? Love your neighbor as yourself. Are you marching actively and following Christ the triumphant conqueror like a child follows their parents? Jesus is my Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. Your Father and I are one. So take the steps to march after our triumphant Christ by sacrificing your time to learn of him through reading and studying his word each day so you have more knowledge to share with others about him. Steve was saying in Sunday school, you know what? We need to begin in prayer each day. Help us to be equipped for the day ahead because we don't know what's coming. Serve God by serving others so you can share the knowledge of his love by your actions. It's not about what we can get. It's about what we give in his name. And then finally, share your knowledge of him with others through words about him and what he has done for you as your triumphant King. We can all bear witness of Christ to others because we all have an experience with God as believers in Christ. We all can tell others what Jesus means to us and what he's done in our lives. And that will bear the light and help us to proclaim the wonders of our King. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for each one here. Help each one of us to make a conscious decision to continually and daily march as victors triumphant in Christ, following our great Commander-in-Chief, Jesus. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.